Hello and welcome to Grace in Focus. I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Currently, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. I hope that you will consider sending us your own questions at radio@faithalone.org. Today's question is a really interesting one. Here it is. Is it in any way possible to wish to believe to be saved and yet not believe? Wow, that one's going to take some work. But I bet Bob and Sean are up to the task. Here's Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar to lead off in this discussion. This is Grace in Focus.
Well, thanks for listening to the show. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And this is Grace in Focus, and we're taking your questions. Here's a question from John, who's a listener of the show. And John says, on our December 24th podcast, we sounded like Calvinists. And he says, here's the unanswered bottom line. Is it in any way possible for one to wish to believe to be saved and yet not be able to? Your answer seems to indicate yes, but that conflicts with so much else that you say. Now, I'm not quite sure what this question is.
I think I can help here because I went back and listened to some of that show.
Okay.
What we were doing on December 24th, we were asked a question along the lines of wishing to believe.
Right.
And what you and I had said was, if a person is not open to the truth of God,
yeah,
a desire to be born again and a desire to believe the message is not going to result in a person being born again because they're a legalist and they're unwilling. And a scripture that we often use is John 5:39-40. Where Jesus says to a group of Jewish legalists, you search the scriptures, the Old Testament,
yeah,
for in them you think you have eternal life.
Mm-hmm.
But these are they which testify of me, but you're not willing,
mm-hmm,
you are not willing to come to me that
right,
you may have life.
Right.
So in order to have life, Jesus suggests a willingness may be, at least with some people, a prerequisite to faith. In order to be born again, it seems that some, if not all people, have to have a willingness to believe.
So basically, I mean, let's not confuse things here, though. There's only one condition to be born again.
That's exactly right.
But we all have different stories of how we came to that point.
Right.
Finally believing in Jesus for eternal life. For some people, it was really easy. It came right away, like probably with my kids. For me, I had to go through all kinds of conviction of sin and reading books and hearing preachers and rejecting some, but still seeking for the truth until I came to that point to be born again.
Right.
I needed to be willing. I needed to be open. I need to search. That doesn't mean you're born again by searching plus believing. That's just my story. You're only born again by believing. So is that kind of what John is asking about?
Well, I think it is. And I think what John's asking about is that basically it sounds contradictory to say that faith is not a choice. We've often said believing in Christ is not a decision.
And believing in anything is not a decision.
Right. You're simply convinced or not convinced, like, by the evidence.
I have this bottle of water in front of me. I'm not choosing to believe that there's a bottle of water in front of me. I just find myself believing it.
Right.
But I need to open my eyes and turn the lights on and do all kinds
right,
of other things, you know, to present the evidence before my mind.
Right. If somebody just stuck a bottle in your hand and you didn't look at it, smell it, whatever,
yeah,
you wouldn't know what was in it. And people use the chair illustration all the time.
So
you don't believe until you sit in it. No, I don't sit in it until I believe.
So in someone's life, if they're not even willing to go to church, not willing to read the Bible, not willing to hear out a preacher, not willing to talk to family members about Jesus, not willing to do anything, they're like these legalists, these Pharisees,
right,
then that's going to be an impediment to faith.
At the very least, it's an impediment to faith. Let's say a person comes, let's take an extreme example. They come from a work salvation cult. You know some of the cults that they clearly teach salvation by works, and you can only keep it if you work. If you come out of a background like that, and your attitude is, my grandparents believe this, my parents believe this,
mm-hmm,
my brothers and sisters, my aunts and uncles, all my family for generations has always believed this, and so I know this is right. And when they talk to an evangelical and they say, if you believe in Jesus, you have everlasting life, and once you're saved, you're always saved, they say, you know, that's heresy. And I know it's heresy because it's contrary to my tradition. I've had feelings that convince me that what I believe is right. You know, some of the cults will say that.
Sure.
You have a feeling deep down within you, and that convinces you you're right. Well, the problem is that person is now closed to the truth.
Right.
Now, can God break through in those cases? Yes, but if he's going to break through, there is going to be at some point some responsiveness on the part of the person. Let me give you my story.
Sure.
I grew up for the first 6 years or 5 years of my life with very little influence. I would go with my dad to the Methodist church, and I would go occasionally, all of us as a family, to the Serbian Orthodox church. But I didn't believe much of anything. At age six, my parents enrolled me in a boys' club, which was, unbeknownst to them, a cult, a work salvation, sinless perfection cult. And it taught that once you were born again, you had to live a sinless life to keep your salvation. And if you ever sinned, you lost it and could never get it back. Pretty extreme, right?
Yeah.
My senior year in college, a friend from the group who had come to faith through the ministry of Campus Crusade for Christ, he came to me and said, Bob, is it possible your view of the gospel is wrong?
Mm-hmm.
I prayed about it and I decided, you know what? What if my friend John is right? And so I went to a Campus Crusade meeting at his school, University of Southern California. Then I got the number for Campus Crusade at my school. I called him up and I said, I'd like to meet with somebody because I lack assurance of salvation.
Right.
And I met with someone and I ultimately came to faith after five meetings. The truth of the matter is I had some openness. I had some willingness. But God brought my friend John Carlson to me to challenge me and say, is it possible your view of the gospel is wrong? If he hadn't come, would I ever have come to faith in Christ? Maybe, but I had been crying out to God for years, wanting salvation,
right,
and not knowing if I had it.
Right.
God had mercy on me and sent my friend.
Right. So to come back to John's question here, is it any way possible for one to wish to believe to be saved and yet not be able to?
No, not be able to? No. But is it possible to wish to be saved and not be saved? Yes.
Right, because you might say that I want to be saved on my terms. I don't want to be saved as a gift. I don't want to be saved by believing in this Jewish guy. I want to be saved by being a hero or by doing sacrificing myself. Or it might just sound unbelievable or somehow beneath you to be saved by simply believing in Jesus. So I think wanting to be saved is good. But there, I guess it's possible, you know, that you can want to be saved and yet miss it.
Absolutely. I think an example of what you're talking about is found in the Old Testament with the Syrian commander of all the armies of Syria who was a leper, and his name was Naaman. He was told there was a prophet in Israel that could heal him. So he came to Israel, and he was told by the prophet to go and dip in the Jordan River seven times, and he would be healed, and the leprosy would leave him. And he became angry. And he told his men who were with him that he was going back to Syria, that he could dip in the rivers in Syria just as well. And they said, look, if the prophet had given you something hard to do, would you have done it? And he said, well, absolutely. And they said, so if the prophet tells you to do something that's easy, but you don't like it, why won't you do it? And he came to his senses, and he went, and he dipped in the Jordan,
right,
and he was healed.
But it's at least possible that he wouldn't have come to his senses.
Right.
And I guess a lot of people reject the promise of eternal life because they think it's too easy.
Well, in fact, they call it easy believism.
Right.
There are lots of people in Christianity, you should know, that the position we're advocating is one that's mocked by a large number of Christian leaders. They call it cheap grace or easy believism. Because they say that true faith is committed to Christ, is obedient to Christ, turns from your sins, and is persevering till the end of your life. And so they say the way you know you're born again is by looking at your works and seeing if you look like you've got the right stuff. Ultimately, some will say, from the Arminian perspective, you can lose your salvation if you don't persevere. Some Calvinists will say you prove you never had it. Other Calvinists will say there's something called final salvation.
Right.
And you won't earn that final salvation unless you persevere in faith and good works. Well, right. They won't say earn, but that's essentially what they're talking about. And so, no, John, we're not Calvinists. We're not saying that somehow God elects certain people and not others to eternal life. God doesn't elect anybody to eternal life. The people who come to faith are whosoever, John 3:16.
All right. Well, hopefully that answers the question. Quickly, I think we have time for one last quick question. Here's one from Joey. He says, I understood that I'm justified by faith alone in Jesus Christ and that obeying religious laws and repentance and good works comes after faith and that are not requirements for salvation. However, free grace Christians still repent of their sins, right?
Okay, in answer to his question, repentance and good works can precede or follow salvation. There's no reason why an unbeliever can't repent. There's no reason why an unbeliever can't do good works.
Like someone, an unbeliever might finally bottom out and go to AA and want to repent of drinking without being a born-again believer.
Or an unbeliever can go beyond that, and not only are they going to AA, but they start going to church, they start reading their Bible, they're following God, they're seeking the truth.
Right.
They're like Cornelius in Acts chapter 10.
Right.
We're told in Acts 10:35 that unbelievers can even do good works. They can work righteousness. Good works could precede or follow repentance. But in terms of his question on repentance, yes, if a believer is out of fellowship with God, he needs to repent. But it's a misnomer to think that believers who are in fellowship with God need to repent. Read the book of 1 John. Nowhere in 1 John are we told about repentance. It doesn't even occur there. The condition for a believer who's in fellowship with God, staying in fellowship with God, is confessing our sins, 1 John 1:9, and continuing to walk in the light, 1 John 1:7.
But we should turn from our sins. We should put to death the deeds of the flesh.
Exactly. But that's not called repentance in 1 John or in other texts. Luke 15, repentance is for the believer who's out of fellowship. But in any case, yes, there is an element of turning from sins when we confess them.
Do free grace people turn from their sins?
Yes.
And the answer is yes. Not to be saved, but because sins hurt us and the people around
us. It's good for us to turn from our sins.
Right. We should stop.
Right.
Well, I hope that answers your question, Joey. And if you want to read more about repentance, then be sure to look up Bob's book, Turn and Live. And there's a book by Zane Hodges called Harmony with God. And both of those things will go into repentance more deeply. Well, thanks for sending us your questions. Keep on sending them to us at radio@faithalone.org, and we will see you next time.
Thank you guys for that great discussion. Maybe you'd like to go deeper on the subjects that we cover in this show. And if that's the case, we would love for you to come visit us at our website, faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have free magazine subscription. We have teaching videos, podcasts, blog posts, all kinds of free materials that are designed to help you grow and mature in your understanding of Scripture and faith. So come visit us at faithalone.org, faithalone.org. This show and all of our ministries are made possible from the generous donations of listeners just like you. I hope that you might consider becoming a financial partner with the Grace Evangelical Society. If so, you can find out how on faithalone.org. We love to hear from listeners just like you. Maybe you've got a question or a comment or some feedback. If you do, we want to hear from you. So here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to discuss whether or not there are different ways to believe, so tune in for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.